Good morning. Okay, today we'll be discussing the problem with Mussar. What's the problem with Mussar? At the same time, we'll be addressing the necessity of learning Mussar. What we don't want to walk away with after last week's shiur and this week's shiur is just a historical overview of some of the different opinions of great people. Not actually implementing anything into our lives. That would be a waste of two shiurim. The goal is to walk away, hopefully with a renewed sense of hisaurus in the limud ha-mussar and trying to think deeply on a personal level, how can we bring this more into our lives? We mentioned last week, we saw the interesting yard site shmooze, the hesped that Rav Kook gave on the 50th anniversary, the passing of Rav Yisrael Salanter, and he spoke about him in glowing terms. And then we read a little bit together of the Shariyor of Itzala, one of his main Talmidim, describing his methodology and his innovation in the world of Mussar. And Rav Yisrael's agenda, his motivation really throughout life, was not only to promote the consistency of Limud HaMussar, but his major breakthrough Chiddush was the approach of how to learn Mussar. And that's what we refer to as Mussar B'Hispailus, learning it not just in an intellectual way, the same derech of learning Gemara or Mishnayos, but learning it with an emotional Hislavus, with a flame. And Rav Itzala gives a few different examples or direction as to how to do that, quoting from his great Rebbe, Rebbe Yisrael. He says, first of all, we have to utilize the koach hanigud, the power of the melody, that when we sing words of Chazal, if it's words of a Medrash Rabbah or words of Mesillas Yesharim, we're not just learning it in the same melody as we learn Mishnah, but we're doing it with a real koach hashira, that our lips are ablaze and we're using koach hatzir, which means we're actually envisioning ourselves applying this idea, this chokhmah, this das into our own lives. That's the Mussar B'Hispailus. Now, part of this process is, practically speaking, and if we remember nothing else of this conversation, of what was the shita of Rabbi Yisrael, what was the concern of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and Reb Kook. If we forget all of that, that's okay. The main point to remember is, practically speaking, if I want to try Mussar B'Hispailus, and I can't say that I do it every day, but I try to do it as often as possible, if I want to actually try it and make it effective in my life, that requires some level of introspection, some level of exploration, finding a few psukim or statements of Chazal that really ring true within my soul, and then finding a melody that works to uplift me and to help bring those words from the Sefer into my heart. So the mashal, I have the Mesillas Yesharim over here. Perek Yud Tes, Mesillas Yesharim is Chasidus. And in one section, he speaks about the experience of tefillah. So you could read these words, and you could be misbonim hativ. You could try to really understand what the Ramchal is teaching us. And then you could take it the next level of actually singing these words to oneself in a way that it hits you in a whole different level. Reb Chalap, who was one of the Talmidim of Rav Kook. So he went on the famous Kiruv campaign together with Rav Kook and Rav Zonnenfeld. They went to different kibbutzim throughout Eretz Yisrael, non-religious kibbutzim, to have conversations with the farmers and to be mechazik them in their observance of mitzvos. So Chalap writes that he was lying in bed awake one night. It was close to 2 a.m. And he couldn't sleep for some reason, so he got out of bed and he wanted to just kind of peek into the other room where Rav Kook was supposed to be sleeping, and he looked in there and he wasn't in his bed. So he got a little bit nervous, but more than that, he was curious, right? Where is he? So he walks outside and he sees in some random kibbutz that Rav Kook is in a shack down the hill, and he's hearing something, but he can't make out the words. So he writes that I slowly walked down the hill to peek into the door to see what was happening. And I saw that Rav Kook was sitting on the floor. He was saying Tikkun Chatzos. But as he was saying it, he wasn't just davening, saying the Tikkun Chatzos. There was one line that he kept on repeating over and over again with the Hislavus HaNefesh. And I just watched as I saw this man who was my Rebbe, who I had incredible awe and reverence for, almost seeing the words of that part of Tikkun Chatzos just enter into his neshama, being uplifted through that particular line. So that's the idea of Musar B'Hispaylus, and I encourage everyone, if you have a moment at some point, try it out, explore with yourself, see if it works and how it works. So I want to jump into the problem of Musar. We'll start off with a piece here from Halachic Man. This is a work by Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. And he shares with us the story of Rabbi Itzela going to Volozhin and trying to promote the Musar program of Rabbi Yisrael and encourage the yeshiva of Volozhin to incorporate it into the yeshiva schedule. However, the response of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, right, the Beis Halevi, was a refusal of the idea. So Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik explains in his own interpretation why Volozhin was not on board with the Musar movement. And I think we'll read this together, and then we'll see how Rav Kook expresses his concerns. And there are definitely some shared ideas, but I think it's presented in a very different way. And I'll tell you the truth, the way it's presented here is very difficult for me to understand, and it's somewhat disturbing. That's the truth. Let's read it together. So he explains that at least in the early days of the Musar movement, the emotion of fear, the sense of loneliness and melancholy, self-negation, constant self-appraisal, the consciousness of sin, these were all part of the movement's spiritual profile in its early years. The halachic men of Brisk and Volozhin sensed that this whole mood posted a profound contradiction to the halacha and would undermine its very foundations. Right? It was a lot deeper than we don't think we need it, and therefore it's a waste of 30 minutes in the daily schedule. But there was a concern that it might have an impact on everything else that we're doing. Halachic man fears nothing, for he swims in the sea of the Talmud, that life-giving sea to all the living. One must not waste his time on spiritual self-appraisal, on probing introspections. Such analysis brings man neither to fear nor to love of God. The Torah cannot be acquired in a state of melancholy or depression, fear, anxiety. If not rooted in halacha, it will give rise to a destructive consequence. I want to just read the words, then we'll analyze and process together. Reb Chaim of Brisk's reply to Reb Yitzchak Blazer was as follows. If a person is sick, this top right paragraph, we prescribe castor oil for him. Anybody ever had castor oil?
Yep.
Yeah? Delicious. Okay. I've never had it before.
No, not internal.
Okay. If a person is sick, then we prescribe castor oil. However, it's certain that if a healthy person ingests castor oil, he will become very sick. Our approach here in Volozhin is you have to be ligging and learning, you have to occupy yourself with Torah, be engaged in the Yam HaTalmud. This is the most effective and tried remedy in man's ongoing battle with his evil impulse. We in Volozhin, thank God, are healthy in spirit and body, are whole in our Torah. There is no need here for castor oil. If the scholars of Kelm and Kovna feel compelled to drink bitter drugs, let them drink to their heart's content, but let them not invite others to dine with them. In all truth, he concludes, all truth and fairness, it should be emphasized that when the Musar movement reached a state of maturity in the Yeshiva Knesset Yisrael under the dictatorship, maybe the directorship is better, of Reb Naftali, of Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, and in the Mir Yeshiva under the spiritual guidance of Reb Yeruchim Levavitz, it assumed an entirely different form and approached the world perspective of the great halachic men. The fear, the terror, the melancholy evaporated, and their place was taken by a powerful sense of holiness and the joy of life. He concludes, if a halachic man stays clear of melancholy and dread, he also recoils from any exaggerated spirit of joy, any sense of celebration lacking a healthy logical foundation, and any spiritual drunkenness. So this seems to be the approach of a classic Litvak, right? Not too much sadness, not too much joy. Keep the emotion in check and learn Torah. But I want to analyze this honestly. If we're trying to climb into the mind of halachic man, and he's explaining the concern that Volozhin had potentially over the Musar movement, how would you say over in a user-friendly manner, what was the concern of Volozhin as to why they had no interest in implementing Musar into the schedule of the yeshiva? It would be?
It would, if you're depressed and down, oh. It's not going to help you.
Okay, so it sounds like the main concern was, what kind of emotion is this creating amongst the Talmidim? If people are learning Musar every day and they're following this approach of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, it's going to create a sense of fear and anxiety that's not founded on the yesodos of halacha and hashkafa, and that'll be counterproductive. What else is he saying here? Any other ideas? What is this mashal, the castor oil mashal? If you're sick, then you have to take bitter drugs, unfortunately. If you're not sick, by taking this medication, it's going to make you sick. Right, when you have one of the kids taking amoxicillin and it's the bubblegum flavor, so their brother or sister wants to take it also, and you try to explain to them, no, for you it's not healthy. How does that make any sense? For your brother who has strep, it's going to cure him. For you who don't have strep, it's not good for you. What is the nimshal to learning Musar? What would you say?
How it creates melancholy and anxiety, how learning of Musar creates.
Okay, that's a good question. What's the premise, right? How does the Limud HaMusar create that state of mind? So we did see last week, right, from Itzala, that there seems to have been a focus, at least in the early days of Musar, in the writings of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, a focus on good old-fashioned fear of God, using the approach of Musar in creating a real sense of hechrich, of urgency. I have to do the right thing because otherwise there's going to be consequences. So it seems like from that perspective, if you're focusing too much on the yira and the guilt and the fear, so that's going to create a state of unhealthy weakness of mind and spirit, and it brings to some level of depression. I think the idea of the castor oil is, if a person needs to focus on mortality to be able to really appreciate and cherish every moment of life in Avodas Hashem, so the Nebuch, that's what you need to do. But if you're already in that state of mind and you're swimming in the stream of Chochmah and Das, and you're living in Torah, and you're feeling this chiyus hanefesh, so then it could be focusing on one's mortality and the urgency and the yiras ha'onesh, that could only take you away from all productive things in life. I think that's where they were coming from. What's somewhat troubling is the way he presents it. It's almost as if he's saying, this whole idea of self-appraisal and probing introspection is just a waste of time, right? Learn the Rashba. You learn the Rashba well, you don't need any of this narishkeit. Now, we know that's not true, because you look at all of the Sifrei Musar and Sifrei Machshava, going back to the Chovos Levavos. We mentioned last week that was the earliest Musar Sefer we have on record, going back 1,000 years. All of the Gedolei Yisrael bring from hundreds and thousands of places throughout Shas and Chazal that there's a requirement to be misbonein bidrachov, right? It's a pasuk in Eicha. The way we do tshuva is through real introspection. So obviously what he's referring to is an unhealthy, obsessive focus on how am I doing? Oh no, I've had a Yerida. I'm not in the same place in Ruchnius where I was a year ago. An unhealthy focus and obsession with the constant Cheshbon HaNefesh. So that might not lead to growth. It might lead to a diminishing of kochos. Now, I could relate to that. When I was younger in my yeshiva career, maybe 18, 19 years old, so I found the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh, not Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh in the Chovos Levavos, but the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh that gives a whole program of how to keep track of your ruchnius. So I, together with a couple of friends, we decided to have a chabura in Cheshbon HaNefesh, and that meant, personally, to keep a chart that was somewhat detailed and elaborate to measure one's growth or lack thereof. And I found, about 6 months into this, that, at least for me, it wasn't helpful, but it was hurtful. Because I found there was too much of a focus on where am I and what am I doing? And so you have to have that balance. So it could be what Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik is referring to is an unhealthy measure of constant self-reflection and maybe losing sight of the ikkar that could cause this sense of just anxiety and dread that would not be helpful for Avodas Hashem. Now, I want to contrast and compare this, though, to the way Rav Kook expresses his concerns about the Musar movement, at least in its early days. Let's go to page 8. Rav Kook writes that Iyun and Yiras Hashem netak migavul limud v'yadiya v'nishur rak migavul saras lei v'harasha muchshis v'zeh l'lo emes. If a person is only focused on the emotional high of Musar, where it's all about that noise, that splash within the soul, and not founded and anchored within the realm of amkus, the depth of the intellect, so that's not truth. The Chosid, the Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim, where he speaks about the necessity of spending time and focus and energy in learning about Yira and Ava and the Munda and Bitachon, the way he presents it, explains Rav Kook, is Limud b'menucha, learning it well with a pleasantness, with a Yishuv Hadas. V'im b'chlal ha-limud, Yazkil Shiyesh Tsorech Lipa'omim Laharshaas Halev. Very interesting way of presenting it. And if as you're learning any area of this limud, you find a necessity to express yourself in more of an emotional way, Yasanu Kafiya Diyaso Bitsarko, so then do what you need to do. You're allowed to utilize that individuality and tap into the Musar Bispalus concept. אבל כשלימוד היירה בוא על ידי שקדה בדברי חזל והמוקר בכספי הקודש, but the learning itself has to be with the depth, with the analytical mind. Hare osik behem osik b'torah mamish. So then learning any area of Chazal or Agadata, that's the same thing as you are learning Torah. V'kachi darka shel Torah, this is the way we approach and engage in Torah study. Avol ha'sora shel alev einu b'chalal limud klal. However, just focusing on that storm of the spirit, that's not limud ha'Torah. She'eino mo'ol al zeh l'chachma v'yediya. This will not help enhance or enrich your chachma and your knowledge. Rak hi avodim yuchedis. I'm not discounting the idea of musar b'spilus, but that's a separate, unique type of avodas Hashem. Efshir shetitztarich le'echad lefi tivo ve'efshir shelo litztarich. It might be you need this based on your personality, and it might be someone else doesn't need this. I'll share with you one of my great rebbeim I had for many years in yeshiva. I noticed that he never learned Musar b'Hispaylus. And he was somewhat the odd man out amongst all of my mentors. So I asked him, I said, I noticed you don't learn Musar b'Hispaylus. Why not? Maybe you do it in the forest somewhere I'm not aware of. He says, no, I don't go out to the forest either and learn Musar b'Hispaylus. But he explained, he said, I tried. I tried for many years to learn Musar b'Hispaylus, but I had a very difficult time getting into it, to the point where it was more artificial, it was more contrived, and I wasn't tapping into a real Saras Halev like Rabbi Yisrael spoke about. And I finally realized as I matured that for me, at least according to my personality, my Tchunas HaNefesh, I'm able to have more of a hisorus, more of this inner awakening through just an amkus of the intellect, through delving in and really appreciating what's being said, what's the pshat in this particular pasuk in Tehillim, reading the Malbim carefully and being medayik in what he's saying and thinking about how that applies to my life. So taking many of the tools that Rabbi Yisrael speaks about, right, the koach atzir, but maybe just not with the melody and the outward expression of those ideas. And he said, for me, that works better. So I think what Rav Kook is saying here, and this sounds very different than the presentation we saw from Halachic Man. Rav Kook is not discounting or even giving off the impression that there's not so much of a need for the self-appraisal and reflection and learning of Yira and Ava. There's a major need for all of these in Yanim, like the Ramchal tells us. It sounds like his main concern was what? If it's only an emotional experience, then that's not Limud HaTorah, right? You sit down for the first time. I never analyzed this particular paragraph of the Ramchal well, but I know that there's an idea of learning Musar b'Hispaylus. So I just sit down and start singing the words of the Mesillas Yesharim. So what are you accomplishing? You're singing the words of Mesillas Yesharim. I don't know. Like, maybe you know what the thing means, maybe you don't know what it means. That's not Limud HaTorah. Now, I assume that if you were to ask Reb Itzela, what was the hashkafa of your holy Rebbe, Reb Yisrael, would he agree with this insight of Reb Kook? The answer would be, of course he would agree. Reb Yisrael was never promoting a system of superficial sing-song attachment to Musar. The whole notion was, once you have a depth of understanding, the way to make that more emotionally ingrained in one's heart and soul is through utilizing different kochos of the nigun of the koach atzir. But obviously starting off with that, you're missing the whole foundation. Now, yes?
So Musar comes after the learning. You have to have the learning first, and only later you learn Musar. Like in grade school, you should not be
learning Musar? Well, yeah, for sure when a child is young, you know. Even throughout high school, it's a big question amongst the mechanchim, when and how to institute Musar in a healthy, productive way. But the goal is, even when you're 45 and 55 and 85, whenever you're learning something in the methodology of Musar B'Espaylos, it's only once I have a clarity, and it doesn't have to be that I'm learning this pasuk the same way you're learning the pasuk. It's an individual pursuit, right? So I'm attaching myself to this Maamar of Chazal, something that might not speak to you at all, but it speaks to me based on my life experience. But I'm doing it with a saras halev, with a storm of the heart, based on understanding of what I'm actually saying.
So it has to ring true intellectually, meaning it has to make sense in your head intellectually, but it can't be the opposite. It can't be like, it rings true. I don't know why, but let me study it more, and then it will make sense.
The main thing is that we view the movement of the soul as the fruit coming forth from the tree. But the tree, right, the source of it has to be an understanding of what's being said.
What about doing something, Shalom Bishma, and eventually becomes Bishma?
So it's a good question. The idea of starting off Shalom Lishma in order to get to a place of Lishma is usually when my motivation is, I'm doing it because I want to make money. I'm doing it because I want more recognition. Okay, so do it because of that, and hopefully get to a place where I'm doing it because it's truth. But I have to be doing it. I think Reb Cook would argue, and I think Reb Yisrael would agree, if I'm just singing the words, that's not called doing Musar B'Hispilus, right? That's not having the same impact. Now, he points out here in the next paragraph, he says, Hagon Reb Yisrael Salanter Zal, Yadua Erech Tzidkoso, V'tom darko l'rabin. We all know of the glowing brilliance and righteousness of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And hishtadel liyaseh limudei hayira ba'ameinu. And he spent his whole life striving to bring Musa to the masses. V'lo also biyodo karoi. You ask the question, was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter successful? How would you answer that question? Huh?
Partially.
Partially. In what way? Meaning, where was he?
Most of the show was adopted.
Right. Meaning,
he wanted to bring it to the masses.
Oh, so I think that's well said. If you look at any major yeshiva over the last century, having a mashgiach ruchani, having a musar shmuz, having a focus on musar, has become the norm. Now, you have different schools of Musar and different approaches, but if you ask, was he matzliach in bringing this movement within to the world of yeshivos, the answer was incredibly matzliach. Was he matzliach in bringing this to the masses of Klal Yisrael? So not as much. So Rav Kook has this suggestion. He says, it could be that amongst the masses, if they didn't have this underpinning, they didn't have the premise of the intellectual absorption of the wisdom before trying to apply the emotional Musar B'Espaylos, it's something that doesn't stick and therefore won't have a continuity. He would speak about more of the emotional aspect because that was his innovation. However, Emes Hadavar, the truth is, says Rav Kook, there was a focus on Yiras HaOnesh, which did not seem to speak to the masses, nor did it speak to those who were accomplished in their Limud HaTorah. Now, what's the connection, right? These are really two different issues, so to speak. One issue is, if it's just an emotional thing without the intellectual basis, so then it's not going to really take effect. And now this seems to be a second issue, which we pointed out last time, that there was more of a focus on the world of Yira. Rav Kook says these two things are actually very interconnected. It's not a coincidence that the more superficial the Limud HaMusar was, so then the less sophisticated it is by definition, and the more you'll focus more on just the base drive of I need to do the right thing because I can't not do the wrong. I can't not do it. I have a sense of euro. The idea of learning superficially and focusing on more basic ideas of why I want to do the right thing is very connected. He concludes here by saying, Dafka b'menucha shleima velo b'sara saleh. The only way to bring in the chokhmas hamusar is through menucha shleima and not through the storm of the heart. Rak al yedei yishuv hadas. Again, efshar shemi sheyimtza ba'atmo shesara saleh drushalo. If you find as you're learning something well that you feel if you express it in an outward way with a melody, it could bring more of that impact. So then obviously, yuchol lishtamesh ba lipa'amim. So then utilize that when you can. It sounds like he's also, although he's not saying this explicitly, it sounds like part of his concern was, as soon as you take any powerful idea and you make it part of a regimen, of a schedule, you could so easily lose out on the spirit behind that idea, right? I'll give you an example. In the early days of Hasidus, and you have the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, and they were introducing the idea of Ruach and Simchas Chaim and Rekida, dancing into the Avodas Hashem, putting aside the debate as to what were the concerns of Hasidus, their goal was, we should bring back some of the spirit of Torah, bring back the neshama. But then if you fast forward 200 years, and within this particular Hasidus, everything has become so incredibly detailed as to, it's not just dancing, but you stand here, you stand there, the Rebbe's over here, these three men on this side, these three men on that side. Theoretically, you could argue that it might take away a lot of what the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov were trying to accomplish. And it sounds like in a similar vein, Rav Kook was expressing this concern over the Limud HaMusar. If you're taking Rabbi Yisrael's ideas and you're making it now, thou shalt learn Musar b'hispailus for 15 minutes a day, so you might squelch the entire energy of Limud HaMusar b'hispailus. I'll read you one last point here. This is very interesting. This is on page 9. This is a letter that he wrote.
Major focuses.
He disagrees with that, but it's also the general approach of the shitchius, the superficiality of just the singing without learning it, the menuchas hanefesh. And he seems to tie those two ideas together. Yes, meaning he was opposed to both of those. But he's also showing us how it's not a coincidence why both of those became the norm of Musar. This is a letter on page 9 that he wrote to his father-in-law, the Ederes, 1905, where he explains that what he himself is trying to do is slightly different than what the Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael are trying to do. The third line of Cook writes, "Ha'hevdil yisodi sheyesh bein havana shitchis b'mitzvos chovos halev, sheshorshim hu yiras Hashem, ubein havana midyekis haba mitoch girsa ve'iyun." The difference, not just in my internal world of how I understand something, the difference between just singing the Mesillas Yesharim versus learning it b'menucha shleima as a foundation, that difference comes out in what kind of person I become. She'al pi shitchiyus hayira mechuberes imora chalev. If we spend our entire engagement in the world of Musar focusing on somewhat of a superficial yiras ha'onesh, the fear factor, so what happens is that creates within me a mora chalev. That means a weakness or a timidity. It creates a bahola. There's a panic. There's a confusion. V'rada, and there's rada yaseira. There's too much anxiety. V'itzavon, and there's sadness. Now that sounds very similar to what Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik was pointing out. Ulevi ha'avana haba achar ha'limud, however, when you're first sitting down and learning Yira, Ava, Bitacha, Namuna, B'menucha Shleima, so then that creates within me very different feelings. That's Gevuras ha'nefesh v'amitzas ha'ruach. That creates a strength of the soul, v'simcha panimius, and an inner joy, v'shalva ha'sheket b'leiv, and an internal sense of calm and peace. So it's much more than you're going to understand it better when you learn it like a mensch, and then you delve into the emotional realm, but it's going to change you into an entirely different human being. One will create a meek, timid, frightened human being, and the other approach will only infuse you with a sense of strength and confidence and simchas l'chaim. And he says, in this regard, I find what I'm trying to do somewhat different than at least what I've experienced in the way that Musar is being promoted. He says, Musar b'hispailus, again, if it's just singing the song, so to speak, so that has the same value, not as limud ha-Torah, but that could have the same value as tefillah. It could be a tefillah. And that's wonderful also. But it's not going to change you. It's not going to transform and uplift you. And the same thing is true, he says, when the focus of our Musar is the Yira, so then what ends up happening is it could take away my chius, my drive for real accomplishment. And I don't live with the same ne'imus. Now, obviously, he's not putting down the idea of focusing to a healthy degree on Yira. Yira, even basic Yira, is part of a healthy diet. Moshe Rabbeinu, even on his highest madrega, he still had Yiras Ha'onish. There's a concept of, I don't want to make the wrong move because I understand there are consequences to action. So of course that's part of my worldview, but that can't be the driving force in my Avodah Shebelev. Okay. Now, we did mention last week that Rabbi Yisrael, although he did speak about and focused more on Yira, when Reb Itzela took over, he focused much more on Ava. And we have an interesting Mesorah. This is quoted here in the Sefer Chadushi Halev from my Rosh Yeshiva on the top of page 10. We have a Mesorah that Reb Avram Grzinski, who was the great Mashkiach in Slobodka, he asked Rabbi Itzela, why is it that when Rabbi Yisrael would give the shmuzin, he would seem to focus more on the realm of Yira, and then now that you took over, you're focused more on Ava, right? You're deviating from your holy Rebbe. So Rabbi Itzela answered, he said as follows, and this has to be understood. He said, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Zecher Tzadik v'kodesh levracha, he was a sholem in Yira. He had a complete mastery of Yira, and that's why he spoke about Yira as more of his main theme. We don't have that shleimus in Yira, and therefore for us, we need to touch upon the other areas of Avodas Hashem that will speak to us more. Those are the words of his response. What do those words mean? And it's hard to understand that at face value, because what does his shleimus b'yira have to do with what he's sharing with the Talmidim? Right? What's that?
It's what we know.
Well, I'm sure he knew just as much about Avas Hashem as Reb Itzela did. The fact that you happen to be a sholem b'yira, so therefore that should be your focus when you're talking to me. But you're qualified to speak about other things also.
You're most qualified. If I'm a world famous microbiologist and I also know about anatomy, you going to come to me for a class on some other topic in biology, or are you going to come to me for?
Right. I'm not sure it's a fair comparison. The assumption is that Rabbi Yisrael was probably the world's expert in Ava as well. He might not have been a sholem in Ava, but I think the idea is like this. Right, I was always bothered by, when it was leading up to Rosh Hashanah, so the Masorah is that you have like kids in first and second grade, they make the scale, right? They make the scale. This is what we're going into. Yom HaDin HaGadol. Hashem's going to judge us. And obviously, if it's presented well by a very wholesome and Baal Simcha as a Rebbe, so then it could be okay. But oftentimes, a kid who doesn't know anything, doesn't have the context of Hashem's love for me as an individual and Hashem's infinite love for Klal Yisrael, you might be teaching me an element of truth, but that truth, without having the context, is sheker. Because that might also be creating for me this whole concept of the Borei Olam that's so far from anything close to reality. And I might have a warped, unhealthy perspective of God if the Rebbe's not doing it carefully. Because this is a Klal Gadol. Even if you're sharing something that's true, but it's out of context, that truth is sheker. And I think this is very relevant to the whole discussion of utilizing Yira as a motivation for our avodas Hashem. The reason why we have a hard time with ever even discussing the notion of Yira Sonesh is because we're lacking the entire context of Hashem's infinite love for Klal Yisrael and my relationship with the Borei Olam. And therefore, as a teacher, if I can't convey this element of truth within the broader scope of reality, I'm teaching you something that's sheker. I think what Rabbi Itzelo was saying, Rabbi Yisrael, my great Rebbe, because he was a sholem b'yira, he was able to speak about these concepts that we have a difficult time with, but he was able to speak about it in a way where he was presenting it within the entire tapestry of Yiddishkeit. And I can guarantee you that if I was sitting in that room, listening to the drasha of Rabbi Yisrael, even though he might go into areas that I would never go into if I was giving a drasha, but I would still be inspired and I would walk away with a yearning fire to connect with the Borei Olam because he could present it within the context, and therefore what he's sharing with me is emes lamito, it's truth. Rabbi Itzelo was saying, we don't have that same capacity. We don't have that same shlemus and yira, meaning that same mastery of truth within the broader context of all of reality. And therefore, for me to speak about the exact same things as my Rebbe would be a disservice to the Mesorah. The whole idea of following the legacy of a Rebbe, that has to come with great depth and sophistication. It doesn't mean that I'm saying the exact same thing my Rebbe said. It means hopefully I have enough understanding of what my great Rebbeim were trying to accomplish that I could do that as well with my limited kochos. So Rabbi Itzelo was saying, I focus more on Ava because I can't present Yira in the same way he can and have the impact that he did. And I think that answers a major part of so many of these issues. The issue that was brought up by Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the concern that Rav Kook speaks about. And these were valid concerns that I would assume Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would agree with. And if you were to ask Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, should we talk about Yira Sa'onesh if that's going to create weak, meager, despondent, depressed individuals? The answer would be chas v'shalom. You incorporate it to some degree. They should have an understanding that there's a truth to that, but that can't be the focus. And should we learn Musar with the depth of understanding analytically and only based on that foundation then enter into the world of the Saras HaNefesh, he would say, of course. Rav Kook's presentation and his concerns of Musar, I think, are very different than Halachic Man. Halachic Man doesn't give the impression that we need more than anything to be focused on areas of Avoda and Yira and Ava. Rav Kook is not giving that impression. He's saying the methodology that I've seen come out from the early days of the Musar movement, that makes me nervous. And therefore, he's trying to make sure that analytically we're learning the Menuchas HaNefesh. So if we take away nothing from last week and this week, the main thing we should try to think about is, can we find a pasuk or two or three that speak to us in a real way and try to implement some of the tools that Rabbi Yisrael spoke about? You know, through Menuchas HaNefesh, learning the quality of the information, but then trying to create that storm of the soul and to experiment with it, see what it does. It might transform us. Okay, shkoyach.
Facebook.